Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. It's right here on ESPN 97.5. We've got a little under 60 minutes to go, and we've got calls lining up. So
people are already responding. We've got three calls that we're going to get to, but I want to get some of these tweets out of the way. And then while we're taking those calls, I'm sure we'll get some texts about it as well. But Horn on Twitter said, hell no, it's still not a thing. And his profile picture is of a black guy, so I'm assuming he's black. But he said, hell no, it's still not a thing. The brothers know that if you don't, Horn will. I'm Horn, by the way. Yeah, we got it with the name Horn. We know. And then he described what he would do, and it made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. But Jermaine said, if a guy says he doesn't, he's lying, especially if he's married. Christina Pink Valkyrie is like, I don't even know where to begin with all this. It should be 50-50 both ways. And then there was this tweet. I'm black and I do it, but I'm a lesbian, so it's required. Oh my God, Sherla, that was awesome. That is tweet of the day right there. That's funny stuff. Yeah, that it kind of is part of the job description. If you're going to be a lesbian, you kind of can't not do that, right?
That's a prerequisite.
Yeah, kind of is. All right, let's do some of these calls. Joseph wants to talk about DJ Khaled. Joseph, what's up?
Yeah, if he says that he doesn't do it, I mean, that's one thing. But if it's under the concept of, I don't want to put my mouth where I stuck something else in,
yeah,
then he can't kiss her either because he put something else in her mouth too.
That's true.
Great point.
So that's a- it's just like, which way are you trying to do that? You want to take care of your wife or somebody else will?
That's-
I agree with Horn.
Yeah, that's my point, Joseph. Appreciate the call.
Well played, sir.
If you're not doing it, trust me, there are other dudes out there that will.
That doesn't bother me, though.
So wait, what? Like, so you would be all right with another dude?
No, not another
going
dude.
Going to but downtown Virginia.
If I on your girl. In her, like if it was in her mouth, I wouldn't care about the kissing
her. Right,
no,
right.
It doesn't bother me.
Because if it bothers you, she's not brushing her teeth.
It doesn't bother me like at all.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. But this is what I was told in high school by dudes. Yeah, that's why I don't do it. That's why I don't kiss my girl. It's like, what? What kind of primitive, stupid-ass thought process is that? That makes no sense to me. Let's go to B-Man. B-Man's going to chime in here. B-Man, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I can't speak for other brothers, but as for myself, I'm a frequent visitor of downtown Virginia.
Okay.
Man, it reminds me of that Richard Pryor bit where he says his daddy and his uncle used to tell him, he's like, no, don't you ever kiss that. Don't you ever kiss that. He said, I couldn't wait to kiss it. Like, yeah. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I knew exactly where he was coming from with that. Yeah, man, I appreciate y'all, what y'all do, man.
Thanks, B-Man.
Appreciate
See, there
it, man.
You go. So, finally, I'm assuming that he was African-American, so that's good. Oh,
so, two good calls, and then this.
I can't wait to
see
where
this
goes.
At least it's at the beginning of the final hours.
So. Right. So, okay. Let's see what OU Mike wants. He wants to talk about DJ Khaled. Now, OU Mike, I asked for, I mean, I don't care that if anyone calls, but you're certainly not going to give us the black perspective on this.
Leo, and my name is Paul, and I love all the women of the world. Anyway, I didn't have any go-to lines back in my day, but what I would do is sit in the bar and I'd part my hair. I'd use my tongue to part my hair in one side. So you know, there was going to be certain things that were to be expected of me after that. But, you know, you don't show them the Bentley and then tell them, no, you can't ride in it. So doing that is kind of like when you go to the ice cream place and they give you that little bitty spoon. Then they give you a little dip of it, and you're kind of like, well, no, I don't think this is me. Or you might be like, oh, this is my favorite right here. That's how you do that. That's the way to go about it.
Wait. There it goes.
He tried
about 18 different bits of material.
Did he just say he parted his hair with his tongue?
Yes, he did. Yes, indeed, he did.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised he didn't come in and go, I want to talk about BJ Khaled. That would be an OU mic.
That would be an OU mic.
That
would
have been hilarious.
I'm trying to catch up on some of these texts. Y'all are begging for an OU mic bad joke call.
Got it.
Ding, ding, ding. That was from White Magic. Man, blacks do it all. We talk. I can't. Can I say?
You're about to.
I didn't say it yet. You know, the booty thing. What? Eating booty.
Yeah, you can say that.
I know, but can I say the salad one? You can say tossed salad, right?
I think you can, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think anybody... You got to put two and two together there.
Yeah, but he's like, we do that too. I've heard that. Like, you guys went off the deep end, though. We were just trying to get you guys to visit in downtown Virginia, and you were like, well, we're going to go... We're going all the way
we're
south.
We're creating our own language.
You guys went to the deep south, too. Like, don't do that.
We've been so appropriate.
We've got the Breakfast Jack. We've got downtown Virginia.
I like the Breakfast Jack.
And we've got
Breakfast
a lot
Jack
of our own language.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're going to keep coming in here. But I do want to let
yeah, guys... we need to move on.
Remember,
I got my
you're
answer.
Eventually going to have to transition into your live read,
yes.
Joel, just so you know.
Again. But let me. Can I throw this out for you guys real
okay,
quick?
Okay, what up?
All right, because we all know Alabama and their own ways and all the different things and the dynasty talk. And we know Saban in the past has like paid guys to be consultants that were ex-head coaches, a lot of money. Their strength coach just got a raise. Okay, Alabama football team strength coach. You guys want to guess what he is now making?
Over a mil.
No. Strength coach. Come on, bro.
Well, you made it sound, you built it up.
But it's still pretty astronomical for a strength coach.
What is it?
He was making $535,000 a year and just got bumped up to $585,000 a year. That's that psychotic guy on the sidelines that was really intense and everything. But all you got to do is go crazy and push and make sure the guys do their lifting, and you can make $500,000 a year. $585,000 he's going to make next year. That is the life.
Yeah, that's pretty. Just to make sure dudes work out and come up with a bunch of
crazy.
You're probably getting those strength programs from other people too. Like, I'm sure that he's knowledgeable, but. I can't lie. If I was a strength guy, I'm pretty sure every once in a while I just go on the internet and get somebody else's workouts and be like, yeah, just do this. I'm coasting
the
this
thing
week.
Is, and you're going to be in great shape because you can work out whenever you want.
Yep.
And you're training those guys. And you're getting all the greatest food in the world because you know that they eat right. And those dinner, the buffet lines are always filled up.
Yep.
That's a pretty great life right there. If you can maintain that for a while.
No doubt.
Good Lord.
If you paid me $500,000 to make sure dudes lift their weights, basketball players, I'd be pretty happy with that.
I mean, football players. Football, but,
my bad. I was looking at Ben Simmons missed that dunk. That's my bad.
They could whoop your ass.
Two things. Yeah.
Football players.
That's
especially
right.
When they're getting on all that other stuff.
Jason Avery wants to know, is OU Mike our equivalent to Gilbert? No. I mean.
OU Mike and Trey a little bit. I think they're both kind of.
No, they're both. OU Mike calls other shows.
He
Trey
does.
Goes on other shows. Gilbert is pretty exclusive to Granada.
That's true.
So I would say
Anyway, I got to go get my bike. I'm not talking about this anymore. Charger, they're great. Anyways, I got to go. No, John, unless Wendy's riding my bike with me.
Have you heard that promo, by the way?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah.
It is fantastic.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
So we've got good personalities around here, even the people that are regulars to the show. And that's just like you guys. So we appreciate you being suspects. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. If you are in this area and you're looking for a great energy provider that's always going to have your back, always going to be honest, and is going to set up a plan that is tailor-made for when you use energy the most and make sure they take into consideration when you use energy the least, whether it be for your business or your family, I've got a company for you. It's Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, people that are going to talk to you. They're going to ask questions. When you call right away, you're not going to get an automated system like a lot of those big energy providers. You're going to get a human being on the phone. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know all the pertinent questions to make sure that they set up a plan and a program that is perfect for you and your energy usage. It's always going to be 100% honest conversation, even if it means they lose your business to cheaper competition. It's like a trusted friend. You expect honesty at all times, and that's what you get without exception. They make sure it's green, 100% green energy. It's at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That decreases your carbon footprint. And right off the top, all you got to do is mention ESPN 97.5, and you instantaneously will get a $25 bill credit. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. Regardless of whether you get on the line or you get them on the line, they're going to make sure that they tailor make a program that's best for you, and they are affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Check them out, InfuseEnergy.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final hour of the show. We have really flown through this bad boy on a Monday, as we've had plenty to talk about, both sports and not. See how we do things, you guys. If you're new to the show, that's a staple. We're having some fun in the process, which is, again, a staple of the way we do things. And hopefully you're around for the ride and you take us all the way through, and then you take us to take the Blitz at home until 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. So we've got plenty of conversation started and flying around about the DJ Khaled story.
Yes.
We've covered Rockets.
Yes.
We can get to the other NBA playoffs at some point. But the big story of the weekend, because you said you didn't watch the Astros.
I didn't, know.
We all know that the offense is still scuffling, but the biggest thing was yesterday's game. Verlander pitches well enough to win again, takes a 1-0 lead into the seventh inning. And then controversy strikes. And I don't know if you had a chance to catch up and see the play, but it really, really ticked me off when I was watching the game. And kudos to the AT&T Sportsnet people, because the guys in the truck had every angle possible to show what happened. But if you missed it, Arizona center fielder, who was player of the month for April in the National League, Pollock, got a hanging breaking ball from Verlander with a runner on first base, hits it off the wall in dead center field. Springer plays it, gets the ball to Correa, and on the relay, the runner from first scores, and Pollock's about to slide into third. Correa makes a throw. Bregman is lined up at the bag where he should be waiting for said throw. It hits Pollock and goes behind Bregman. As Bregman goes to, one, locate the ball, because there's a lot of the umpire is there. He doesn't even know where the ball is at first. You can look at his facial expression and see he's looking to see where is it.
Get tangled up.
Right. And their feet get tangled up a little bit, but then he's stepping away. He's stepping towards the third base coaching box and looking for the ball. And Pollock reaches out and throws his right arm into Bregman to make contact, then gets up and starts darting for the plate. Marwin Gonzalez was very, very astutely aware of what was going on, came all the way over from first base, backed up the play, threw home. They get him. McCann puts the tag on. They get him at the plate.
Yep.
So the game's going to be 1-1 going to the bottom of the seventh, or the top of the eighth. Instead, the home plate umpire, who's a younger, new umpire, decides that there was interference at third base, as Bregman did not allow the runner to proceed. Awards home to Pollock. Mm-hmm. Ends up being a 2-1 game. Ends up being basically the difference in the game. And the Astros are irate. Hinch is extremely upset after the game. Basically called it a BS rule and or interpretation.
Well, my thing is, I'm watching it and I'm looking at it closely here, and I don't think either player did anything intentional.
I disagree.
I mean, I'm watching it. You said Pollock reached out.
Oh, if you can see it, Nick, I think you've seen the angle. The one angle that they get coming from over the first base dugout, you can clearly see that Pollock, and even he somewhat admitted it, that he reaches out to make contact.
I was watching it at a bar, and I actually had an Astros fan right next to me who was obviously a huge Astros fan, and he said that exact same thing. And I looked at it and I was just like, kind of, yes.
I mean, I'm looking at it right here.
I'm not sure, but I tweeted it out. Like,
that's not the angle you're looking for.
They just both look like they just tangled up. That's why I say that should be a no call.
There's a couple angles, but I don't know which angle that you're looking at. But I mean,
it's from behind home plate, looks like, zoomed in pretty close.
Okay. I mean, it kind of looked like he reached out, but I wasn't sure. I was even talking to the guy next to me. I'm like, it kind of looks like that, but I'm really not sure. That was my exact answer. So I'm not entirely sure. That's why I tweeted out, was that an interference?
Right.
Joel was quick to say no, and someone else on Twitter was also quick to say no. But I couldn't tell.
Blummer to me, that CK they let him play. Really upset about it as well as being a very, very bad call.
Yeah, to me, you just have to let him play there. I mean, Alex Bregman has just as much right to go for the ball on that throw, and they just got tangled up. I mean, that happens all the time. If you get tangled up, guess what? You probably shouldn't be running at that point. You should stay on the base. So, yeah, not that it wouldn't matter because it was just the one run. They lost by two. So that doesn't...
Well, also later in the game, the same home plate umpire, and they showed it how blatantly bad it was. A pitch that was nowhere near the plate, way outside, and Marwin got rung up. I think it was Marwin got rung up on it, too.
Someone gets a third, and that's what led to another RBI that got the... I mean, it probably wouldn't have been a loss by two if that call wasn't made. You know what I mean?
No, here's what makes it worse, because they didn't score the third run until the eighth inning. That was the sixth inning when they got...
Okay. Here's what makes it worse, too. So you know that the umpires have to supply one umpire to a pool of reporters that have to answer up to what happened. Crew chief Brian Gorman was that umpire, and he said, and I quote, "It is the type of obstruction where you let the play happen. You don't call it automatically, and you don't call time. You wait as the play develops, and if the obstruction had something to do with the play at the plate, when it happened, then the umpire has the discretion to score the run. If he gets thrown out by 20 feet, you didn't think the obstruction had anything to do with it, he would be out. But the obstruction caused him to delay so much that it caused him to be out at the plate, so we scored the run." I don't think that there was hardly any delay, even though he made contact with his right arm. AJ Hinch said, horse bleep rule and a bad interpretation. Verlander said, it's the equivalent of a flop in basketball.
Yeah, that's what I likened it to, yeah.
But I'm going to give the Diamondbacks credit because they said in spring training, the coaching staff brought up the rule explicitly and in full detail, spent time on this and instructed the guys what to do if the situation arises because of, this is the way we talk about how Harden is a master at exploiting the rules.
Yep.
The Diamondbacks realized that essentially you're supposed to disappear, quote unquote, when you're the fielder after the ball passes you and you can't make a play on it initially when the throw's coming in. And really, there's no way to disappear. So the Diamondbacks instructed their runners to make sure they make contact with the fielder, and that's what he did. So Pollock did exactly what he was coached up to do,
right?
And the call went their way.
Well, that's why I say you got to let them play on, because just like in basketball, when you see somebody flop like that or two guys just get tangled up and go down, and you don't want a situation where you're letting some kind of tomfoolery dictate the game. And in that case, it was two guys trying to make a play. I mean, Pollock's trying to slide into third and get a triple. Bregman's trying to get the ball. It gets by. And so both of them are scrambling. I just, to me, that's a no call. You just let those guys.
I would agree with that.
You just don't call anything. And if Pollock should have known better than to try to run because they didn't get that far away. So I don't know. It sucks. Bigger thing is the Astros dropped 2 of 3, lost 2 in a row. You thought, bats might be waking up when game one, they go out and score 8 runs and then score 4 over the next 2. That's sad.
And again, it's just, you know, and I tweeted out some stats from our good friend, Mr. Kaplan, this morning at the Athletic that were basically, Jake Kaplan had some great stats about the fact that, look, they're less than middle of the pack offensively. The offense just isn't clicking yet. You're hoping it comes around. You can't fault the starting pitching. But it's a tough series to lose. But when you look at it and you look at the run production over a 3-game series, it's easy to understand why they lost. Because they're just not putting runs on the board.
Well, they're not hitting with runners in scoring position, which is a huge problem for this team. And it wasn't last year. They were one of the best in the league last year at doing that. So
they also have not come back once this season when trailing after 6 innings.
Yeah.
Which is something that they did on a pretty consistent basis last year. And even, you know, the ability to come back and tie a game this weekend only to lose it on a walk-off when Peacock came in on Saturday night. That's the way things go, it seems like the way things are going for this team, exactly how they went last year, they're going opposite this year in tight games.
This is
going
to sound crazy, but I feel like at this point they probably need to move Bregman back up.
I don't disagree with
that. The bottom of the lineup is so bad right now that I feel like Bregman's one of those guys that if he's starting, you know, he had a home run, if he starts to heat up a little bit, if he was protected in the lineup,
I don't disagree
by
with that.
Springer and Altuve, you might be able to get his bat going. His on-base percentage is really good. I mean, he's got the third highest on the team. Altuve at 389, Correa at 379, Bregman at 370. So he's not a detriment to you at the top of the lineup.
Right.
You're the bottom half of this lineup is already so bad. You kind of can't fade to have that many guys that aren't hitting well. Because if you get him, you're basically wasting the fact that he's on base 37% of the time because everybody around him isn't hitting. So move Bregman to two, which is this lineup that was the rest of the year. So you have Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa, Gurriel. At least the fact that he's getting on 37% of the time, you got a better chance to score more runs.
Went deep this weekend, so the pop's coming back a little bit too. Let me ask you a question. Where do you put Marwin right now? Is he hot or not?
No.
See, I would say no as well too. Richard Justice tweeted out, after hitting 182 with 7 RBIs in his first 20 games, over his last 13, he's hitting 311 with 10 ribbies. To me, I don't have a single feel for that. I just feel like he's scuffling up there. He's taking a lot of pitches.
Is that true?
It's what he tweeted out. Richard Justice covers baseball. Used to work for the Chronicle. Works for MLB. I would assume he would have some backing behind that. Certainly doesn't feel that
because
way.
In
his last 13 games, he's hitting 311 with 10 ribbies after starting out.
His last how many games?
13.
So over his last 7 days, 211. 211, he's got 4 hits, 1 RBI, 3 walks.
Maybe you want to tweet Dick Justice.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at his ESPN profile. What they do when they give you the splits is last 7 away and then for the month of May.
Because I retweeted it saying, but is he really though? Because it surely doesn't feel like it.
He's 211 for the last 7 days and he's hitting 250 in the month of May. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Maybe he is. I don't know. His I'm looking at.
So two things for you here, real quick.
Yeah.
Astros with runners in scoring position, as you mentioned. They're hitting 249, which is 14th in baseball, 8th in the American League. On-base percentage, 329, 19th in baseball, 8th in the American League. Slugging, 397, 16th in baseball, again, 8th in the American League. And when we were talking about who you might want to see come up and get another shot, J.D. Davis, since he was demoted to AAA, hitting 425, his splits 425, 474, 655 in 97 plate appearances. He's played mostly third base, but also some left field and first base. Stick him out in left field and let him hit.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was looking at the splits for Gonzalez, and they show you like, oh, here's his last 7 games or here's whatever. The one game he hasn't played in the last 6 was the 8-0 win.
Which is the opener against Arizona, right?
Yeah. So in the games, in the last 5 games that he's played, all L's, and the offense has struggled mightily. Now, I don't know.
You might want to mix it up?
Yeah. Listen, if you are a Houston poker player, if you want to be rich, if you like money, then you need to check out Stillhouse Poker Club. They have a $100,000 tournament coming up. That sounds good, right? $100,000? Who couldn't use $100,000? It's Houston's newest, biggest poker room. They are making history with their $100,000 tournament. It is the richest poker tournament ever in the city of Houston, and it's happening May 18th and May 19th. Yes, you heard me correctly. It's a $100,000 poker tournament right here in our very own city, and it's brought to you by Steelhouse Poker Club. Now, obviously, the $100,000 tournament is the biggest in Houston and Texas. And for just $300, you can take your shot on May 18th or May 19th. It's the richest person in history. Why would you pass this up? But they're not stopping there. Steelhouse Poker is also, check this out, they're also guaranteeing at least $10,000 every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. One more time. This is important. They are guaranteeing at least $10,000 every day for every tournament from Monday through Saturday. Guys, you got to check this out, man. It's Steelhouse Poker Club, conveniently located at I-45 and West Road on Houston's north side. It's the $100,000 Steelhouse Poker Club tournament. You can get more information online at steelhousepoker.com. One more time, Steelhouse Poker, $100,000 tournament. More information online, steelhousepoker.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. We'll take you up till 4. Blitz will take you home till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Somebody said, Dan Barry, are you and Joel wearing the same shirt? That was Matt from the 409. No.
You have a t-shirt.
Yeah, this is a cotton v-neck.
I kind of figured you guys were going to get a few texts considering they were both
your audio is up again on your
this
computer.
Is a cotton v-neck. And,
this is a Nike dry fit.
Yeah, that's not even close. Get your stuff together, Matt.
Go listen to some pink headphones.
It's a good thing I didn't call Steelhouse Poker on the air the way I've been saying it.
Twice you did that.
In our ear.
But at least it wasn't on the air.
Yeah, like when I tried to say soft core porn.
Are you slumping, Nick?
A little bit.
Look, he's going to reach for it. I hate you.
Soft core corn.
You didn't have to.
I mean, I'm just trying to remind the audience. Because context.
Yeah. Okay. Jerk.
Well, at least he's admitting he's kind of slumping a little bit because twice he referred to them as Steelhouse
Porn. No. What? Don't throw him under the bus like that.
Well, I kind of admitted already.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say what you said, though.
Well, I didn't want to upset your sponsor.
Exactly, but Joel was going to. you guys on the stream, so I'm trying to keep up, and John had this about John Parker said the Astros are taking too many pitches. They get down on the count because the pitchers know that they're taking the first few pitches. That is true. It seems like that last year they were first pitch swinging quite a bit, and I know that's Altuve's M.O., like, he's a first pitch swinging kind of guy. I think they need to try more of that. I mean, they definitely need to switch something up, whether it's moving Bregman up to second in the lineup, bringing up J.D. Davis. I don't know. They're going to have to do something. But I think that this team's approach at the plate seems to have changed compared to last year.
Yeah, I think, and the other thing that we keep going back to, too, besides just, you know, because people are saying, too, about Marwin seems to be extra, shall we say, irritable at the plate, challenging balls and strikes. But the big thing is the bottom of the lineup, and this should sound familiar to Astros fans from years past, but the bottom of the lineup just isn't hitting. And, you know, I think it all started, unfortunately, when they had Luno on the air on the broadcast and said, is there any area of this team that you'd be looking for right now to try and upgrade? He said, oh, we really don't need anything except for maybe a left-handed relief pitcher. And since then, it's become more and more obvious that you can point the finger in about 3, 4, 5 different directions right now and say, these guys are not helping you at all.
Yeah, that interview came pretty early on.
No, it was like a week ago, or a week and a half ago.
No.
Yeah, it was. It was like a week and a half ago. It was right before they left on the road.
Okay. So was that during the Athletics game? Athletics series?
Yeah, it might have been.
Okay.
It was definitely during the last homestand. And you look at it, and you look at Gattis, and you look at Marisnik, and you look at...
But I mean, this is...
I like Fisher. Fisher had a big hit this weekend.
This is a team that had one of the best offenses in baseball. It set all kind of... Or on pace to set all kind of ridiculous records. So I see why you think that. But I do think that you don't have to go out and trade for a big bat, but you might need to mix things up a little bit.
But yeah, whether you go in and you talk about the couple guys in the farm system, whether it is bringing up a Tucker or you're going to give, you know, White or someone else a chance. Because look, these guys have been given ample opportunities to hit their way out of it. It's really not happening. Like I said, Fisher had a big double this weekend. That helps. But that's just one at bat, and obviously a lot of miscues. Marisnik was striking out more than 50% of the time there for a while. So, and Gattis, because he's not the backup catcher anymore, he really has no value other than the fact that he's supposed to be a designated hitter. And when the DH isn't hitting, that's a problem.
Yes. I would agree. Did you see Stan Van Gundy got fired?
I did.
Yeah.
I think that was more so because they had said that they were working on allowing him to not only fulfill the final year of his contract, but possibly extend. But they asked him to make some changes because he also had full control of basketball operations.
He was the GM and stuff, right?
And I'm sure it also involved his assistant coaches to some degree. And the Van Gundys, as we know, are very loyal to all other coaches in the coaching profession, whether they work for them or not. And I'm sure they couldn't come to an agreement. So he walks away. That's a hell of a paid vacation. Because McHale still got one more year at $6 million a year. He still had 1 year remaining on his deal. And I want to say it was getting between 8 and 9. Maybe even more than that.
Really?
Yeah, because he had two roles. He had, you know, basically head of all basketball operations, and he had the head coaching job. It might have been a little bit north of $9, $10 million a year.
Wow.
So you get that final year of that deal walking away.
That's nice. That's real
good,
nice.
Good deal if you can get it. That's why McHale's enjoying TNT and golf.
Yeah.
He's got one more year at six.
I want that gig.
Me too.
I want that getting fired and getting millions money. I wouldn't mind that at all. You want to take this call?
Sure. It's one of our up and rising stars as
whoa,
a suspect.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
White Magic in the house.
What's going on, gentlemen? What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
Hey, quick question, man. When Toronto loses tonight, you think Dwayne Casey's fired by the morning or before the weekend's up?
You know what? It's interesting you say that, because I was thinking about that this weekend. When have you seen a guy that's going to probably hands down win regular season coach of the year and then possibly be relieved of his duties because of the playoff performance of said team that is the number one seed in the Eastern Conference?
It's rare that you'll see that happen.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great point, though. That's going to be... You think that they do that, though? Can you fire a guy that just won Coach of the Year?
I don't think that they're going to do it. Although I can see being justified that they could. Because we know that everything is magnified in the playoffs. We know that Brent Brown is getting a whole lot of heat for the way he coached the end of the Sixers game against the Celtics. But the bottom line is that exactly what we said, and I've mentioned time and time again on this show, is showing itself to be true come playoff time. Toronto is a great regular season team. But come playoffs, they fail miserably because they don't run a system. They don't call plays, particularly in crunch time. And they run nothing but isolations for the most part for Lowry, for DeRozan. Again, the other night, that when you bench DeRozan because you're also sending a message to him and you're not happy with the way he's playing. Now it's real easy if you're Cleveland, who's not a good defensive team, to go, gee, I wonder what they're going to do here.
Would you fire a guy that has won the division 4 of the last 5 years, and the one time he didn't win it, they came in second? I mean, he's gotten to the conference finals. He's gotten to the semifinals. Why would you?
Yeah, I mean, I give him a lot of credit because dare I say that perhaps they need another star to build around. And
that's
DeMar
what I'm saying.
DeRozan is not the guy.
You don't. I don't think you necessarily need to look at Casey. You need to look at the roster and think where can
talent.
We get? Yeah,
second best bench in the league.
If he was like, because remember with McHale, they got off to that slow start. They went 41-41. There's all, but you're winning the division just about every year.
So you're Gary Kubiak.
Yeah. A little bit.
Or Bill O'Brien.
You're winning the division, but you just don't have any killers on that team
that are the second
best bench. But I mean, you still need a good starting lineup to help you carry through.
I think DeMar DeRozan is great, and Kyle Lowry too. But the fact is they don't have that killer instinct. And let's be real, James Harden, and the knock on Harden and Paul and D'Antoni has always been that the three of them individually on different. In different organizations, haven't been able to get it done in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Now that they're together, look how they're performing in the postseason. They look like they've got it together.
So you're saying essentially like the general manager should be getting more heat because of the fact that Serge Ibaka is being paid like that third guy.
Yes.
And he has been underperforming grossly. Someone's going to probably take a bullet somewhere for this team's failures in the postseason once again. And again, Nick, I say they're the second best bench, but because the Rockets bench was being constructed throughout the year when they were adding Joe Johnson and Gerald Green and all things like that, Toronto in a lot of people's minds had the best bench in the league. They've got those two guys, whether you believe that they're perennial all-stars or not. And I know the discussion came up on Twitter, is DeMar DeRozan a top 20 player in this league? Well, he's 11th rated scorer, but he doesn't do a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
But they've been doing enough to win divisions and have the best record in the East.
I don't think you fire that guy.
I don't either.
Yeah. You know what you should do? You should fire your AC guy if he hasn't told you the following. R22 Freon, it's going away. It's being phased out over the next 2 years. In actually less than 2 years, you won't be able to get R22 Freon for your AC system. And if your AC guy hasn't called you or warned you about that, so I want you to call Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating because they're trying to bring it to the attention of Houstonians to let you guys know they don't want you getting caught in the middle of a summer a couple of years from now and you can't get your AC fixed. That's why you should call Courtesy Air Conditioning. 713-278-9933 is the number. Call them. Tom, Brad, and their certified technicians. They're going to come out to your house. They're going to look at your AC unit. They're going to tell you whether you can upgrade it. Because if you can, they're going to save you that money and let you upgrade it. Or if you need to replace it, it may be so old that it can't be upgraded, but they're going to let you know. And this is why I love Courtesy Air Conditioning, because they do great work and they're honest. They're not trying to just get you to buy a new unit. A lot of AC companies out there are just, hey, you need a new unit. Your unit is broke. Your unit's not working. You need to get a new unit. Not Courtesy Air Conditioning. They're going to come out. They're going to tell you exactly what you need to do and no more. 713-278-9933 is the number. Get them out there. If your unit is fine, if it's working okay, then maybe you just need to get it serviced, because you should have it serviced every summer before the heat gets here. They can do that for you as well. They've been in business and serving the Houston area for over 30 years. Why wouldn't you have them out? We had Tracy the other day hit me up on the text line and say, I just had Courtesy AC out. They're as great as you say they are. I know, Tracy, and thank you for the confirmation. One more time, 713-278-9933 is the number. 713-278-9933, or hit them up online, courtesyaconline.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. They're waiting in the wings, and we'll take over at 4 as we have had a good-spirited show with sports and more, as we've covered the gamut of baseball, basketball, and fun. One thing we didn't really talk about, but boy, I'll tell you what, from a Cleveland perspective in that series, hard to argue that LeBron James, ooh, baby. I mean, when you talk about, I saw some numbers, I think I might have retweeted them, but when you look at his last 10 games in the playoffs this year, I think he's had, in his last 10 games, he's had 340-plus point games. He's had two buzzer beaters.
Yeah, but he's not clutch.
He certainly is now. He hasn't been his whole career, but he certainly is now. And you know what? Here's the thing. I want to go back to this.
For saying that, because I thought he was. Everybody's like, you're stupid.
Well, there was. Clutch. He showed times, and this is, you know, I don't know if we have Cleveland fans, I doubt, but he showed times where he didn't want the ball at the end of the game. Yeah. And that's,
but he's a distributor of the ball. That'd be like saying Chris Paul didn't want the ball. That's part of his LeBron's game, is he knows he's going to draw a double team. So finding an open man to make a big shot, trusting your teammates. That was the argument that I had a while back. I think it was with Liebeschott. We was like, he's not, and I was like, just because you don't take the last shot doesn't mean you're not clutch. It's finding the best shot on the floor. And if you happen to be the best shot on the floor, then take it. But I mean,
I think that was the big thing too. At the time that he was passing them up, he was the best option that they had. They weren't as loaded as they have been in the past. But at the same time, you can go back and forth forever in a day. I don't know why we've got to pinpoint it to the one greatest of all time. He's definitely in the same breath as Michael Jordan, as if you want to put Kobe Bryant up there, as the greatest to ever play the game, because of the fact that he has done what he has done. And again, I go back to this one stat that, again, I'm not trying to say, because Jordan, you could say, well, he missed 2 years because of playing baseball. Whatever. We've already been through that. But the fact that he's looking at 8 straight finals appearances is ridiculous. That is something that I don't know, I dare say, will never be seen again. Even with as strong as the Warriors have been over this short window of time, 8 straight is a pretty sick accomplishment.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm trying to see what is he averaging minutes wise because he's
he 41. Had a 46 out of 48 in one
game. He's tired.
So 41, 41, and 47 the last three games versus the Raptors, putting up 38, 43, and 26. For the regular season, he averaged almost 37 minutes a game. That's got to be way up for this postseason.
In my opinion, that's what it's going to take if they're going to win anything. He has to play at least 40 minutes every game in the playoffs.
We've been saying that, and I've been saying at that pace, I don't know how he can keep it up, but he's been proving everybody wrong and that he is capable of doing both. If Boston puts away Philly tonight, is that a good thing for the Cavs or a bad thing for the Cavs? Because you would think without Kyrie, without Gordon, that Gordon Hayward, that'd be a good situation for the Cavs to be in. But we've talked about the emergence of Rozier. We've talked about how good those young players are and getting better for the Celtics. And they're going to play a style of play and a tempo that I'm not sure the Cavs, because of the fact that he's playing so many minutes, they luck out. Philly doesn't want to get breakneck all the time. I think if Boston pushes the issue, you can tire out LeBron because of the fact he's already gassed.
But it's funny how you're saying,
was it a
changed.
Good thing for if say the question again?
So everybody's sexy pick was the Sixers to get to the finals and win the East.
Yeah.
If Boston wins tonight, is that a good thing or a bad thing if the Cavs face Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals as opposed to Philly or another?
Oh, I thought you meant because of the rest. No. Is it just a... I don't know. I don't know. Brad Stevens is proven to be...
You got that right. I forget who said it. Someone said it, including... someone flat out pointed out and said some NBA expert too, and I think Kobe echoed it because Kobe's doing that show where he gets in detail. Mm-hmm, but they just said Brad Stevens is head and shoulders above any coach in the game today, the way he's coaching.
I looked up his minutes in the playoffs. This is kind of surprising because it feels like it's a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
0.4 more than he played last year. In the championship years, 42.7, 41.7. 39.1. He's playing 41.7. For his playoff career, he averages 42.
He has to play at least 40 minutes. He has to.
Yeah.
He has to. He's never had enough of a supporting cast, or perhaps maybe one of the years he won the championship, but this year especially, he's never had enough of a supporting cast for him not to play at least 40 minutes.
You know what the other
thing
maybe
that
says?
Narrative is wrong.
Well, but you know what the other thing that says?
Like you said, it was what he's supposed to be playing.
You're spoiled as a basketball fan in this era because of the fact that you've just become so accustomed to him playing that many minutes and doing the things that he's been doing, that you don't realize how rare it is that you get a guy that can suck up that many minutes, endure them, and play at a level. We've said, after 15 years in the league, statistically, he's having arguably his best season in the league.
How old is he?
33 or 32?
Yeah, he's 32.
Is he really?
He's
32, 33.
About my age. And remember, 4 years in college would have helped because he would have played way less minutes. It would have been less grueling, especially at that time, because I forgot when he got in. I want to say 2001, 2002, somewhere around there is when he got in the league. But like, it would have been, it might have been better for his health, easier on his knees if he went to college. But he made the right choice. I'm not hating. I mean, I would have taken the money too. But
and yes, I asked that because most athletes will peak around the age of 28, and it seems like. Mm-hmm. He might be peaking now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And very, you know what? Here's the argument within the argument, but I tweeted this a while back. But there was a comparison, which again has gotten way too prevalent, Jordan versus James. But clinching games with a shot, he's 0 for 2. Facing elimination, 0 for 1 in the playoffs, NBA finals.
Well, somebody texted and said, Jordan lost in the first round 3 times.
He did. He also missed 2 years with, you know, when people start comparing stats, he also missed 2 years, you know, basically playing baseball. So you can go back and forth. That's why I said there's no clear cut, and I don't know why we have to determine it as such.
You brought it up.
I mean, look, I'm just saying because the two game winners he's hit in this series alone is ridiculously good.
Yeah, and it's always, when you deal with somebody on that level, it's always going to be a question. It's part of what makes sports so fun. Just like when Olajuwon was playing, you always compared him to the best centers of all time. When a guy like LeBron, Kobe, you're always going to do that. I don't know why people get so upset about it. It just becomes, when people start regurgitating the same things, like at least you're bringing something different, like statistically. Because a lot of times people are just like, well, he scored more points. It doesn't matter. That's not the good stuff. Juan wants to talk. Do you want to do the LeBron call first?
Yeah, we probably should.
All right. Bon wants to talk LeBron. Is it Bon?
Hey, what's, go- Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, you know, after LeBron hit that game the other day, I figured there was no way Skip Bayless can hate on LeBron. But unfortunately, I turned in just to hear him hate. He was saying that that was the worst shot LeBron could have took, and that technically it wasn't a game winner because the game was tied. I just want to hear your comments on or your thoughts on that.
What?
And, I mean, we all know how stupid he is, but, you know, just want to hear your comments on that thing.
That is stupid. It won the game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
How is it not a game?
It wasn't tied after the shot went in. There was no time left on the clock. That, in my mind, is a game winner.
Did Skip Bayless really say that?
I didn't hear Skip say that, but if he did, yeah. I mean, I can see that it adds a little bit more pressure if you're
losing. He just does that to get the reaction.
If he said that, he should be kicked off TV because that's just stupid.
Someone said that, by the way. Someone tweeted us recently, too, and said, when a guy gets something wrong on TV, they should be suspended.
Whoa.
I'm like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, no, because I get stuff wrong all the time. Juan wants to talk NBA before we go. Juan, real quick, what's up, man? Make it fast. We're up against it.
My NBA top five: Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Bird, and Magic.
There you go. Appreciate it, Juan.
Kobe not in that top five. All right, so that's another topic for another day, because then we'll get into Mount Rushmore's and poll questions, and then we'll be on another station. All right, so we wrap it up and put a bow on it
on the way out.
Because we keep it all in the family here, and our family truly is better than any other choice you have in this marketplace. So we're going to continue to do what we do. That means Fred, AJ, John, The Blitz, they're next. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock, and we'll see you again tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. on The Usual Suspects. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have yourself a great evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.